the quality of milk is far, far superior. You cannot get a better milk than a Jersey. We often get really good feedback about it to say it tastes like milk that we had growing up out of the vat.
This is The Producers. I'm Danny Vallant. After growing up and running wild on a dairy farm, Sally Jones founded Gippsland Jersey in 2016. She ensures farmers are paid a fair price for milk, promotes mental health and well-being in rural communities, and approaches every business situation with kindness foremost in mind. It's been a complex and challenging journey, fortified by community at every step of the way. And just a warning that this episode talks about suicide and mental illness.
I am Sally Jones, and I am the co-founder of Gippsland Jersey, which is a small boutique milk brand located in Gippsland, where we strive to pay farmers a fair price. We're about rural mental health and kindness. My upbringing was pretty unique in that I didn't go to school until grade six, simply because there was too much going on our farm, and because mum and dad had created this business and whatnot. So we were unschooled, very family orientated. My grandparents and auntie and uncle and cousins, etc., lived on the farm. It was relentless. We didn't go on family holidays. It was always about work, you know, but we really enjoyed it. We made our own fun, you know, just growing up with motorbikes and bonfires and damper and playing out of Green Gables in our long dresses and all those sort of things. Like, it was a magical childhood, but it wasn't necessarily conventional in terms of going on school holidays and doing we did sport and things like that, but our holidays involved going to Melbourne show and Sydney show and serving ice cream and getting paid for it. And we'd always take our friends and stuff like that. But I guess for me, I was always intrigued about how people in the cities wanted to know about life on the farm. And when I did move to Melbourne after I finished high school, I was attending the Melbourne farmers markets just to pay my school. To pay my rent. And my grandpa used to leave Lakes at 3 a.m., Lakes entrance, and meet me in Melbourne at the Collingwood Children's Farm, for example. And I remember, you know, setting up my little stall and people coming up to the stand and saying, oh, tell me about what your cows eat, or tell me about the process of how this you know, ice cream's made or whatever. And I just remember thinking, why do you want to know this?
A bottle or carton of milk might seem straightforward and simple, but it's not easy to be a dairy farmer. What are some of the things city folk don't know about dairying and trying to make a dollar in the process?
Dairy farming traditionally has always been a tough one to be in. So my dad was a dairy farmer, so I grew up very much entrenched in that lifestyle and have seen and experienced firsthand what it is like. So my own lived and personal story is that, you know, my dad was working offshore in the 80s to supplement the farm's income, just because milk price has never been enough. And then I guess that sort of journey in him sort of realizing that he was working off farm really hard for, you know, 2 weeks on and 2 weeks off and tag teaming with my mum and, you know, us four kids, etc., that he decided to then value add to his milk. And that's when they started Riviera Ice Cream back in the 80s, and I sort of grew up in the back of an ice cream shop and or making ice cream or, you know, milking cows. So that was sort of my upbringing, to give some background. And then I guess I'm, you know, 4 decades into my life now, and, you know, seeing that dairy farming really isn't any different. Like, farmers have always, you know, still struggled and talked about the milk price. And as we've seen, even 6 years ago, when the dairy crisis did happen, it was absolutely devastating and just so wrong with what happened there. That happened, and then farmers were hit with 4 years of drought, where simply the grass didn't grow. It was just terrible. And then, you know, for some it was followed by bushfires. And, you know, obviously in the last year or two the milk prices have come up, which is great. But it's, I think we're only really starting to feel those effects. Just because a milk price changes and you might have a good year doesn't mean that it solves all the problems.
Family-run dairy farms operate on the cow's schedule, and they don't know about sleep-ins or weekends or holidays. What's it like in amongst the herding, milking, mooing and pooing?
Cows are very much, you know, it's a herd mentality, and there's always leaders and there's always your favourite cows. I had one called Lucy growing up, and she was a beautiful Jersey cow and just beautifully natured. They're quite intuitive. Jerseys in particular are really friendly, so they will come up and nudge you and lick you, and they're just beautiful animals. And we know why, you know, they're such a sacred animal in India, for example, because they are so, a cow is so giving in its entirety, because, you know, it gives milk and it can actually give meat as well. So it's 7 days a week, twice a day, where you you get up in the morning and you put on your old clothes and your gumboots and go out on the motorbike and you round cows up. And sometimes it's really cold and wet and rainy, and, you know, you've just got to bear the elements. Then you come in and the cows all stand out in the cow yard, and they come in one by one, you know, in a line. For us, like, we had an 8 swing over dairy, so cows come both sides of the there's a pit, so and then you sort of the dairy platform's at about waist high, and then you have a whole set of milking cups, and so you go along the line and you put on the milking cups. And, you know, some cows might take, you know, 2 to 5 minutes to milk out. You know, a cow can produce between 12 litres and 35 litres of milk at each milking, depending on the cow and the breed, etc. And it involves cow poo. It involves, you know, your hair smelling. Actually, what's one thing I really despise about growing up in a dairy farming family was, you know, just the always constant, like, if you go and milk the cows, if you go anywhere near the dairy, you somehow end up with cow poo smelling hair. So, but it's a joy. And look, it is hard work, and farmers that, you know, are in the industry deserve to be rewarded well for what they do. You know, it blows my mind that you know, there's a perception that you'll pay maybe more for a bottle of sparkling water than you will for a bottle of milk. And if you actually see how much effort and energy goes into creating that milk, I think most consumers would be happily pay a little bit more than, you know, the $1.20 that sort of is currently sitting in there for a home brand style milk.
Gippsland Jersey was founded in the fog of tremendous grief. Sally shares the story of her father Michael's struggles, successes, and eventual suicide.
Growing up on a dairy farm, as I mentioned before, and really seeing my dad, especially being a pioneer in that space and going out and value adding to what he created. And then also he had a milk brand called Riviera Hometown Milk, where he flogged himself in terms of working 18 hours a day by milking the cows, and then he bottled the milk, actually had them in cartons, and then he was the delivery man or the milkman, and he used to go into Woolies at the time and just literally get his arm and spread front and centre and put his milk in the fridge. And I guess those were the days where there wasn't a whole lot of, rules and regulations on how you did things. So growing up in that space and seeing it, and then Parmalat at the time seeing how much of a threat he was, and they actually bought him out for $1 million in the early 90s, which was incredible. And really, I guess, you know, was amazing for a single dairy farmer to have a go and create something. And anyway, so I fast forward to 2016 when my dad was really suffering through some depression and some psychosis, just because he'd lost his purpose. Because of our family dynamics and, you know, things had changed and whatnot, he leased the farm and sold the business and didn't have an identity. And as a any man, especially if you're a person in rural area and you've grown up being a farmer or being a business owner or whatever, it's a very hard thing, especially if you've worked really hard and you don't have a lot of leisure, or you don't have any hobbies and things like that to put your energy into, you just fade away and you'll lose your sense of purpose. And that's what happened to my dad. And we didn't realize, I guess, how serious it all was, and never dreamt that he would actually take his own life, which is what happened in 2016. Devastating for me, because I was particularly quite close to him and, you know, really, just didn't dream of it. And anyway, a couple of weeks after that, the dairy crisis happened, and I am very much part of the Warragul Farmers Market, and people were inundating our social media asking, what milk can we buy? We want to buy something that is going to profit farmers and not overseas companies. We want to support our local farmers as well. And I guess just with a whole lot of grief and hurt in my heart and seeing all of this, I thought in my mind, yes, this is something I can really sink my teeth into, and I can channel my grief into creating something positive out of his life, because this is what he did. He hated the injustice. He would have, you know, he would have just been so angry if he was alive to see what had happened a few weeks after he died in terms of the dairy crisis. Which, you know, he was always fighting against being a price taker. He was always wanting to set his own price, a fair price. It wasn't crazy. It's just like, let's cover my costs here. Anyway, so that's what we did. I have a friend, Steve Ronald, who's a dairy farmer in Jindavik. He'd lost out in the dairy crisis and has beautiful Jersey herd, and was like, I want a value add to my own milk. So we came together and agreed on the three values of our business, which I mentioned before. You know, it's about farmers getting paid a fair price. It's about smashing that stigma that's still very much attached to mental health in rural communities, especially men. And then the way we do business is in kindness, because, you know, you don't know where people are at, and you don't have to be, you know, you can choose the way that you respond to situations and the way you speak to people. And it's just it's a good attribute, and, you know, just, oh, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff, and people just need a bit of more kindness in the world. So that's what we are. That's why we do what we do. And after we'd had that conversation, it was 3 months later that we launched Gippsland Jersey at the Warragul Farmers Market, where we processed 5,000 litres without knowing or having a real plan of how this was going to play out. We were very grateful for some of the local IGA supermarkets that said, we'll give you some shelf space. And honestly, that was incredible. We sold 2,000 litres at the Warragul Farmers Market on that first day. People came and they lined up. People don't queue up in the country. We don't queue up for anything. There was a line and it was overwhelming, and the people have totally got behind us and supported Gippsland jersey because they know what we're on about, and we are so grateful. Now, that was all good. We were contract processing, so we had a family business processing for us, which was all good, but they did get a buyout and they told us, look, we have to move you guys on, which came as a real shock because we didn't necessarily have a plan B. We thought we could find a plan B to process, but it was actually a lot harder because we were too small or we were too big for whatever, you know, the processing people. Look, there's not many places that process milk, you know. So we found it incredibly hard. We had a big piece of butcher's paper where we had names on the list and we were literally going, picking up the phone and going through each one and putting a line through it. Now, the last option on that list was the Lakes entrance, which was the factory that my dad built, which we didn't necessarily want to do, but that was the only option we were left with. And my business partner, Steve, and I looked at each other and we're like, oh, gosh, okay, what does this involve? And we didn't have a credit rating. We didn't have any money in the bank. So we crowdfunded and we raised $110,000 in 3 weeks by asking people to pre-purchase bottles of milk. So get behind us and back us and believe in us, which, oh, it was the most humbling experience of my life. And that money enabled us to get that factory up and operating. So it was very much, you know, thankfully Steve is a dairy farmer and a very practical person, and we were just very, very blessed with people coming along at the right time. Like, we had a lot of volunteers show up because obviously the factory's located in Lakes Entrance, and families that were, I guess, caravanning around Australia through our social media page and us just, I guess, making ourselves pretty vulnerable where we're at, just showed up and they would just come and go, I'm a plumber or I'm a whatever, and they would just come and do things. And we're like, how does this happen? So we've now, we don't just process milk, we do other value-added products such as the cultured butter and sour cream and buttermilk, pouring cream and ghee and things like that. So it's been a blessing in disguise in that we did get cut off from contract packing because we didn't know it at the time. But, you know, when you do get to, control the whole process, it allows you to do other things.
Honouring her father's memory through a thriving, supportive business is enormous. The experience has been fortifying and healing for Sally personally, as well as rippling outwards to help others close and further afield.
When I sit in my dad's office at the same desk in the same chair and I look up and out the window and I just think, holy moly, like what have we created? What have we created? And I'm immensely thankful for the opportunity, because obviously everyone processes grief differently, but for me it's given an opportunity to just go on the journey and to walk, have conversations that my dad had with people and they'd share things. So it's been a discovery thing for me, and that's been super helpful, and I think I've saved myself thousands of dollars in counselling and therapy. But it's about being able to use my lived experience and have, I guess, insight and compassion towards other people that might be going through or journeying through a similar experience. And I've had, like, literally hundreds of conversations with people that are, you know, walking through this mental health, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it's just, I guess I was very vulnerable at the start. I remember when the Herald Sun came out and did a story, and I thought they would talk about the dairy crisis angle, but they chose to talk about my side of the story, which was my dad's suicide. And even like 6 years ago, mental health wasn't really that public. It wasn't really talked about. There was still very much stigma about it, and the media certainly weren't reporting or talking about suicide stories. And even I remember saying the words and thinking, have I said the wrong thing? Like, am I offending people? I had to get really, I guess, comfortable in my own skin in terms of just talking about it. And by doing that, it's then allowed others to open up and share their stories, which has gone on to us. Actually, we just create a calendar every year and it tells 12 dairy farmers' stories that the farmers are from Gippsland, and they tell their mental health story. And it's been incredible because it's a platform for others to share their story. And it's not about the calendar, it's about the process. So it's incidental counselling where that farmer gets an opportunity to sit down and talk about their story at their kitchen table or on their farm with me. And I truly, like, I go there, like, I'm such an empath. I feel the feels in my knees. Like, I actually get tingles and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I just, my passion is people and community, and I just love it. And we're always connected through the food, and obviously in this particular instance, it's through the milk. And so farmers that have shared their stories, it's not even about me or my dad or Gippsland Jersey. It's about all of these other farmers that have gone out there, shared their story publicly, and then their peers reading their story and reaching out to them. The ripple effect is amazing. One dairy farmer, Joe Maghetto, who's out here in Warrigal, he thinks that he saved 5 people's lives by just putting himself out there and then taking phone calls and journeying that with other people, which, you know, potentially these farmers may not have gone to see their GP or whatever. It's mental health is not a one shoe fits all. It's very much an individualized approach. And I believe that the more people that have first aid mental health training, and the more we can look after our neighbours and I guess be alert to the signs that someone might be struggling, it's really, really important for us as a society and communities to look out for each other and take that individualised approach, because we cannot rely on the medical system or the government or whatever to do the work, because it's too much and it's, you know, people get missed.
Gippsland Jersey started with the milk from co-founder Steve Ronald's Jersey Herd. Bit by bit, careful expansion has enabled the Indie Milk brand to bring other farms and families into the fold.
So we started with one farm, so that's Steve's farm. And then as we've grown, every year we've taken on another farmer to supply milk to us, which is awesome because that actually says we have growth and we're moving in the right direction. We haven't gone broke. You know, it's being in fresh dairy, like, it's a very, very hard thing to do. And that's probably why, you know, we don't have a lot of little independent milk brands in Australia. There is so many rules and regulations around it. But we do. We take on, it's not about one farm or one farmer or whatever, us growing our wealth or whatever you want to call it. It's about wanting to bring as many people as we can, so many farmers as we can, on our journey, so that they get paid a fair price, so that their family farm can be sustainable into the future, so that these smaller farms aren't, you know, don't just pack up shop, because it's sort of the way that the industry is. It's like, get big or get out. And you know, for me personally, I would rather drink milk from a smaller farm rather than industrialized farm. So that's, I guess, our approach and our model. And we have got 4 incredible farming families that are part of our family, and then we'll take on a 5th in the next month or two. And it's really important to us, to Steve and I, about who comes on board. And it's like building a footy team. You need to make sure you've got the right people on the team that, I guess, respect our values and respect about what we're on about. They're okay with sharing their stories. They understand our mental health position and are on board with that and they have their own story to share and whatnot. And, you know, for them, I can talk about Sian. Sian and Kevin, they're our last farmer to come on board last June. And I think for them, they're like, wow, we're seen and we're heard. So they're not a number at a big milk factory. They're Kevin and Sian LeBrock from Bravington. And their photo is on the back of the milk bottle for everyone to read about their story. And they feel like they're being respected and it's worth getting out of bed for in the mornings. And they're, so we're like, it's just a two-way awesome relationship.
As a consumer, it's easy to take milk for granted, but the supply chain is extremely time sensitive and built around constant flow. When you're small like Gippsland Jersey, it's hard to deal with dramatic ups and downs, such as those posed by a pandemic and sudden lockdown.
The business that we're in with fresh milk is super hard because once that milk is on the milk tanker, travelling to the factory, we pretty much have to have it pre-sold. It's a lot of pressure. So we have been caught out with pallets of milk, and certainly when the lockdowns happened, when food service shut and whatnot, we had, I think there was 12 pallets of milk that got cancelled. And we found out on the Friday lunchtime, I think, that lockdown happened, and we just processed all of that, like we just processed a whole lot of milk on that Friday, and then we were due to reprocess again on the Monday. Now, our cool room is not big enough to hold 2 days worth of milk, essentially, so we couldn't accommodate that 11 pallets. Anyway, I rang Steve and I said, oh my goodness, what are we going to do with this 11 pallets of milk? Like, I don't even know where you would go with this. So we decided to put it all on the truck, drive it to Melbourne. And we put a thing on Facebook to say we're just heavily discounting boxes of milk. And because no one had anywhere to go, no one was going out, people just like bought these boxes of milk. And we went to, I think it was at Pakenham, to one of the car parks in Pakenham there. And we had cars waiting out on Princess Highway blocking up the freeway. like people just showed up and like we were just throwing milk cartons in the backs of boots and saying, thank you so much. Like, you know, it was once again amazing that the support of people and them showing up when we need it.
Prices for just about everything keep going up, but milk lags behind. Why is there resistance to paying more for milk? And what are the potential impacts of intransigence?
I was having this conversation this morning with one of our farmers, actually, and saying, you know, the costs of everything have skyrocketed. You know, cost of inputs is just insane. And yet the cost of milk hasn't gone up yet. So, you know, petrol's gone up, for example, straight away, but milk, like, we won't see that increase. We're now just going through all of these costs going, okay, we have to increase our price. Like, it's not working for us, but we have to actually absorb all of these losses until we can catch up. So we can't just implement a price increase straight away. We need to give people and, you know, things time, work it all out. Yeah, so Matt was just saying this morning to me that if farmers, you know, if this price doesn't sort of go up in a, they will get paid more, but it'll only be just a passing on of the costs of the expenses, if that makes sense. So they're not actually necessarily going to get a pay rise. It's just going to be making sure that they can cover their costs of feed or fuel or whatever on their end. So, and people, you know, they're getting a bit sick of it. I think the general can look, there's some farmers that are so passionate and that's all they know and they love it. But there's some farmers that are starting to go, you know what? Maybe it's not for me. Maybe we don't need to do this. Maybe we just swap to beef. Beef prices are amazing, you know? So yeah, dairy farmers, it's obvious often a intergenerational thing where farmers will hand, you know, or, you know, a child will take over that family farm and whatnot. But don't know, it could look very different going into the future. And also, I think it's important to note that Australia officially now imports milk. We actually import dairy because we lost 3 billion litres out of the milk pool over the last few years. So the production of milk is only at 9 billion litres, and we were at 12 billion. And obviously, growing population, things like that, it is actually a concern.
The Gippsland Jersey journey has been fuelled by emotion, belief, and a bit of real talk to supermarketeers. What keeps Sally Jones going?
I'm still really passionate about what I was. I wouldn't be doing it if I wasn't. I think if you asked me if I could go out and start a milk company now, if I was at the beginning of my journey, I would not have the energy. I wouldn't have the stamina. I think for me, Gippsland Jersey was fueled by my grief. It was fueled by my passion. It was about, you know, wanting to channel that into something positive, which I feel like, you know, we have done. And it's about, you know, being a little bit of, it's about farmers, and it's about respecting them and about paying them a fair price, because they don't advocate for themselves. Farmers don't have the time. They don't have the, you know, ability to go out and do a protest or write letters or whatever. They just sort of just take whatever the milk companies give them. So we feel like in a little way we're able to be a little bit of a thorn in the bigger company side. So often when you buy milk off a supermarket shelf, those milk brands are all owned by foreign countries, so Canadian, Japan, Japanese, whatever, Chinese. And so if you are mindful and you are wanting to make sure that the money stays local, check the labels and try and support Australian where you can, because we need to look after our own backyard. So I'm really passionate about, so for example, we do have our full cream and light milk in Coles and Woolworths, and they all pay the same price as the local milk bar and the cafe and things like that. And I remember when we first had a little conversation with Coles, and we haven't done things, you know, through the proper channels. It's all about wonderful connections and relationships we've had with people. But when we were fueled, obviously, with a bit of anger when the dairy crisis happened, and I remember going to a meeting with someone from Woolworths, and they were sort of talking about price, and we said, no, like, this is the price. And oh, like, we're so green, you know, like we had no idea. And we said, and I remember saying to the person at Woolies, I was like, yeah, well, how about taking off your $1 milk? It's totally disrespectful to the industry. It's disrespectful to farmers. Surely you are not getting the profit margin off that compared to what you would be getting off a bottle of Gippsland Jersey milk. Anyway, Steve was kicking me under the table, like going, like, do we want this to happen or not? And it's just been actually a wonderful thing to have the support of the two major supermarkets stocking us, because that has enabled us to bring on more farmers and for us to, I guess, to certainly survive through COVID. We just need to pound the pavement a little bit more and get the word out with who we are, because we certainly don't get the fridge space we don't have the advertising or anything like that. So that's certainly a challenge for me figure out, without having a huge marketing budget. We're just a small little, you know, brand back here in Gippsland. We don't have salespeople on the ground. Like if I call up a shop, they'll go, oh, could you send your sales rep in? I'm like, oh, we're like 4 hours from Melbourne. We don't have anyone on the ground. And I think, we can't compete in that sort of world, but we just have to I guess, keep trying to stand out from the crowd. And we've got our gold blingy labels and beautiful milk, and just hope that enough people will know about us. And incidentally, consumers are our marketing people, because often someone, as you said before, will have a connection to our milk, and they might tell 10 people, which then, you know, 10 more people buy bottles of our milk, which fuels our growth and fuels us to enables us to grow and bring more farmers on.
There's no huge marketing budget to broadcast to potential new buyers, but that has its upside. Sally and Steve have warm and genuine relationships with so many of their customers.
So we love it when a consumer has a relationship with us, whether it be just following us on social media, or they've met us at a farmer's market, or they know one of our dairy farmers, or they've had a milkshake, you know, whatever it is. Or they know someone that knows us. Like, you can't beat the connection of when you are connected. People have lost their uncle and auntie and nana and pop that used to have farms, and they used to come visit. Oh, you got someone at the door. So there is a loss of connection to food, which is a real shame, because we obviously are on about farmers being paid a fair price, and it's really hard to justify when our milk is already a bit more expensive. So it'll cost between, you know, 5 to 10 cents extra per cup of coffee for that barista to use our milk in their coffee, for example. So when we go in and speak to a cafe and they're like, yeah, but why would we choose to use this milk? It's like, well, one, you're supporting local, and people love to just throw around, oh, support local. But when you break it down and you realise what happens when that $1 is spent in a local region, it gets turned over 8 times, which, the economy benefits, that community benefits. So we, for example, get all of our boxes made in Nearham South by a family-owned small business, which, yes, probably costs us a few extra cents, but it's worth it for us. We get all of our labels printed in Melbourne. We could go overseas and get them printed and it would save money, but, you know, we just prefer to support local. We use a smaller family tanker driver. Just, I guess, we are quite mindful about where we put our money, and then obviously that's passed on to the consumer. So we are relying on that consumer to say, we like what that company's on about. We like what Gippsland Jersey does. So we're happy to pay that extra few cents at the checkout or at the cafe to support that milk. And also, can I just mention, the quality of milk is far, far superior. You cannot get a better milk than a Jersey. We often get really good feedback about it, to say, it tastes like milk that we had growing up out of the vat, for example.
Gippsland Jersey takes pride in doing things differently. Sourcing milk from small family farms, paying a fair price, and value-adding already premium Jersey milk. It's about keeping money local, improving the emotional and mental well-being of dairy farmers, and acts of kindness, both random and intentional. And the milk, butter, ghee and buttermilk is amazing too. This is The Producers, a Deep in the Weeds production. I'm Danny Vallant. Stay tuned as we talk to some of Australia's best farmers, makers and growers. Follow us on Instagram at producerspodcast or contact us via deepintheweeds.com.au.